From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour is going to be made tomorrow morning when WXXI opens our doors for the fifth annual WXXI Antiques Appraisal event, and we have brought back the College of Collectible Knowledge to get a head start on that and answer your questions. And you know, you have always wondered about something in your house, an antique, an old piece of jewelry, a painting, some piece or item in your attic. You want to know what it is, what it's from, maybe even what it's worth. And our guests are better equipped than anybody to help you understand that. The College of Collectible Knowledge is an institution on this program, and we're glad to bring back Jack, Nick, and Yvonne for that. So don't wait. Listeners, call. Let's light up the phones. Let's get some good questions on what you have. And it's always fascinating to hear what people want to know about. So I just love to kind of sit back and listen to this. 844-295-TALK to call the College of Collectible Knowledge. 844-295-8255. Or 263-WXXI if you're calling from Rochester. 263-9994. Yvonne Jordan is the owner of Shop 15. It's an antique and vintage store, and it's great to have you back here.
Well, thank you. And I was shocked to hear it's our fifth annual. That's quite astonishing.
Where does the time go?
I know. We're just having too much fun.
Well, my aunt used to say, as you get older, the time goes by quicker. And Jack, I think that's true.
Jack and Nick Wanderman are from Wanderman, Jack Wanderman and Associates, and they are, of course, back. Jack, great to see you as always.
Great to see you as well.
Nick, great to see you.
You too, sir.
And the phone is already ringing. Before we dive in on that, Yvonne, what's keeping you busy these days? What's hot these days in your world?
What's hot?
Yeah.
Anything mid-century. Actually, Western things are very collectible. Western paintings, cowboy boots, Navajo jewelry, all that type of stuff. And actually, it's moving into Mission California pottery, early California pottery, and that part of the world seems to be very excited these days about stuff.
Okay.
And vintage clothing is making a comeback in Rochester.
Yeah, I've noticed that
as
well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Vintage clothing.
Vintage clothing.
But vintage from when?
Well, believe it or not, people are actually asking for 80s stuff sometimes.
Every 80s is old school?
80s,
oh,
80s,
man.
80s shoulder pads,
Every year they have what's called the ugly disco party.
Yeah, but...
And though it's was... better maybe 10 years ago, they still have them at civic centers and auditoriums. And
Thousands of people go.
They go out, they buy crazy 1970s bell-bottom outfits with sequins and polyester shirts. And they dress up in these bizarre outfits and go to this big party.
It's not bizarre. It's the height of fashion, Jack.
Well, that's true.
You also have shows like this Shop Girl on Netflix, and it's a story about how a girl started a very small business buying clothing out of estate sales and the Goodwill, and she turned it into a $25 million a year business. So anytime anyone sees money, everybody just jumps in.
That's what Shop Girl is about?
That's what it's about.
I don't know. See, I haven't seen it.
You check it out.
Is it good, though? You want to demur on that one, Nick?
Big breath.
We're here for antiques.
We're not here to review.
But it is part of the markets. People's concepts of what an antique is.
No,
I mean,
right.
The '70s is already 45 years ago, folks. So we're approaching. It's moving out of collectibles and approaching the antique.
Don't bring us down.
No, but that's why I include vintage in my shop description, because people nowadays think of antiques as the very old stuff, and mostly they want vintage.
Okay. So, well, let's get our first phone call. And again, listeners, 844-295-TALK. Toll free, 844-295-8255 or 263-WXXI if you're in Rochester, 263-9994. This is a great opportunity for you to get some questions answered, because tomorrow you got to buy tickets, and we hope you come down 10 to 3 tomorrow at WXXI Studios. You can bring your favorite treasure and have it appraised by our experts here. Tickets are $30 each. That's for one person, one item appraised, and they can be purchased at the doors here at WXXI tomorrow until 2 p.m., but 10 to 3 tomorrow. See you here for that. But now, no charge, I don't think. Kevin and Victor, first up. Go ahead, Kevin.
Hi.
Hi.
I have a book I picked up a couple years ago. It's a hardcover WPA American Guide series. Are you familiar? From the Depression?
Sure.
It's hardcover. It's the history of Rochester and Monroe County.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have an idea about that?
You're, number one, you're probably looking at a smaller market. Anything that's typically localized would be a more localized market in terms of finding a buyer. And, you know, at that point, you know, it's really difficult to assess because you're not looking at, like, national comparables. You're looking at local comparables and what you can convince somebody locally to pay for it. If you're going to put it in a shop and wait, you know, 10 or 15 years to sell it, you could probably get $50 for it. If you want to sell it in a weekend, probably get $5 for it. So,
well, I don't think it's that grim. If you put it on Craigslist, there are a lot of people looking for Rochester memorabilia.
Yeah,
in
well,
Rochester.
I mean, the American guys, most of them were paper-bound. This is a nice hard-bound. This is why it's different.
Yeah, of course.
And the WPA books find an audience.
Yeah, I would put it in the $25 to $30 range.
Yeah, it sounds accurate.
And see what happens. Don't start at the bottom, start at the top.
Put your fishing pole in the water and wait for the big fish.
That's right. That's right. It's a good book. It's been interesting.
Yeah, no,
book.
No, it is. Yeah. I'm a book collector. I haven't ever come across one quite like this before.
Oh, cool. So. Yeah, well, did you try and find it on ABE or any of the book sites?
No. You know, I collect books, so I just had it, but I just pulled it out of the drawer a couple of days ago, and when I heard the topic today, I thought I would just ask you.
Well,
about
thanks
it.
For calling. I
okay.
hope that helped.
Kevin, good luck to you. 844-295-TALK. 844-295-8255 or 263-WXXI if you're calling from Rochester. 263-9994. All right, so I've got to read this email from a listener, and they sent in. I've got a physical object in my hand. We are totally cheating the system because you're supposed to show up with physical objects tomorrow, 10 to 3.
I was worried he was going to propose.
No, Nick, I think you're fabulous, but not yet. So, all right, so here's the email. This is a pair of mine-cut diamond earrings that were given to a local couple by a family friend, and the couple would like to know how much they're worth. There isn't any information about the carat weight or the stone, and the couple heard that no one really wants mine-cut diamonds anymore. So
untrue.
Let's start.
Nobody wants platinum, gold, diamonds, all
right,
all
you're going to make me get my glasses out. This is a radio show. I shouldn't need them.
What is mine cut? This is how little I know about them.
It's a European cut, an old-fashioned cut.
These are in a very modern setting, though.
Yeah. It's something to do with the crown and the width and the cut where it reflects the right best.
It's very difficult to assess stones without some type of gemological equipment. Anybody that says that they can do it from eye is a good fibber.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Yvonne's...
I'm taking a closer look. Well, I have grave doubts about these. Yeah. For one, without my lens, I am not finding a marking on the setting. And if they were old diamonds, you would find something marking what kind of gold it was. The setting is very modern. And I think what you really need to do is just go to your jeweler and ask them to use their little diamond tester. Here, Nick.
Are you thinking there's something awry here?
I don't think. Well, it doesn't appear that they would be. They're set in gold or silver, which if they were old diamonds, they would be. They're not. As far as I know, they're not cutting mine diamonds anymore.
Okay.
They're virtually identical, which is very difficult to do for in the old mine cut diamonds. They were often lopsided or not quite round, or they weren't cut the best.
Okay.
And I'm not quite sure they're diamonds.
Very good size. Unfortunately, I forgot my electronic microscope and my lens.
You just need to take them to a jeweler. Ask them. They have an electronic thing. They can test for diamond right away, and they can also test for the gold. They don't have to scratch it anymore.
Well, they're a little skeptical, Yvonne, because you know what one jeweler told them, according to the email?
What?
One jeweler told them $10,000.
Wow.
It does not sound like you're on board with that diagnosis, that this is a $10,000 mine.
I'm just judging by the setting. Look at the setting on those,
you see that,
Nick,
in the business a lot. Where
you see what?
You see people sprouting out super high valuations on property and then saying, well, thanks for stopping in for your free appraisal. Bye. You know, and it's very difficult. You see that happen all the time. It's kind of in the business known as putting a rock on it. They want to make sure that these people have unrealistic expectations and there's nowhere for them to go with it.
I would like to point out, I'm just going to add a little bit of new Rochester information. There is going to be a shop coming in July on Monroe Avenue that is going to specialize only in estate jewelry. So that might be a good place to start.
If they're very serious, the thing to do is to send them to GIA in New York. And they, for a fee, they will assess what the diamonds are, the amount of treatment, and what needs to be assessed by the further.
GIA?
Yeah, it's a gemological association. They accept orders and stones from clients. They do it all day long. And that's a thing to do. Send your stones to GIA. That way, there's no question. When you have a certs with a stone, that is the gold standard in stones and jewelry.
And would you say there's a range of value here? I mean,
yes, because I mean, offhand, we can't tell the quality of the stone.
Got it.
You know, I mean, there's a huge range of value in diamonds.
Could be very low, and it could be significantly not low.
Well, they're certainly impressive looking.
Okay.
Reflect the light well. So, but
the settings are not right.
But that doesn't necessarily mean anything.
Either somebody had them reset. I don't know. Not very confident about
it. You need
them.
A gemologist with electronic microscope to really scrutinize them.
All right. Well, good luck. And by the way, that same family also wanted to know how much Royal Doulton figurines and Hummel figurines might be worth.
Millions.
No. Royal Doulton.
Depending on the figure, some of them hold their value, but each design comes in several sizes. So you have to start with size, the year it was done, the color combinations, but they have held their value better than the Hummels.
Yeah. Unfortunately, they were mass produced with the intention of lullabying people to suspect that they would be a good investment. The Hummel market crashed. There's hundreds of thousands on eBay. Some of them go for under $10. And the Royal Doulton market, though it's better, as Yvonne said,
it is much better.
They're still, unless they're the older ones, the newer ones are not bringing anywhere near what the old ones are. So you have to be very wary of purchasing things. And I've seen so many people go out and buy stuff because they heard an advertisement that was promoting them. Always ask somebody in the business that's reputable and has widespread knowledge of these kinds of things.
Condition is also really important. Yeah. If you have one tiny little chip, nobody's going to want it. Literally, nobody. Yeah.
Or as the old saying goes, a blind man would pay $50 to see that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's difficult because the market is flooded with eBay. You can go on and see hundreds of the same thing. It's not like you have to wait for it to come to a neighborhood near you anymore.
All right, but maximum value for a Doulton figurine could be what?
A couple hundred for a large one.
A rare large one in mint condition.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hummel has not held its value as well?
Almost no value. I keep some in the shop just because people expect to see them in an antique store, but I don't expect to sell
2 to 5% of retail.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. It's collapsed.
All right.
If it's in mint condition.
All right. Before I grab another phone call, I'll let you know we've got some lines open. I've got some emails. I'm going to share some pictures with our panelists here. It's the College of Collectible Knowledge, and they're answering your questions as best they can. 844-295-TALK. Toll free, 844-295-8255 or 263-WXXI if you're in Rochester. 263-9994. Mary in Greece is next. Go ahead, Mary.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
Sure.
I have a question. I think it's a very, very old fan. It's iron. It has no blades. There is a cage on it. It's round. The base and the neck has like little intricate pattern on it. Mm-hmm. It doesn't work. It's about 8 inches tall.
And there's no blade?
There's no blade in there, no.
Okay.
Any name, any letters, numbers, anywhere underneath, inside, et cetera?
No, it looks like it's like it was worn. Mm-hmm. I really can't see anything.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Is the decoration painted on or stamped into the metal?
It's stamped in the metal.
All right, so it's probably a casting. Well, frankly, without the blade, you'd have to find somebody who buys them to repair, and you know, so it's probably maybe maybe tops $10,
yeah.
$15, okay. Unless it's an exceptionally rare cage.
Some of the old fans bring very good money,
yeah,
but when
they
you're
need
lacking
to be
so much information and parts.
All right, thank you. I also have another question. Do you go to people's houses? Like, I'm cleaning out my mother's, and she has all this.
Yes,
every day.
Yeah. Perfect. Is it okay if I leave all my information with
It is.
Producer Megan?
Yes.
Sure.
Call back, or you don't want to do it on the air.
No. That's okay.
So, no, I'd rather not.
Yeah.
You don't need to. No.
Mary, Megan will grab your information off air, and thank you for that. Anything else you need from them?
No, that's it. Thank you so very much.
Thanks
all right, Mary,
for calling
thank you. I'm going to pop you back on hold. Megan will grab that from you. Listeners, you want to call the program, it's toll-free, 844-295-TALK, 844-295-8255. And let me ask the Wanderman and Associates, how do they get in touch with you? Generally speaking, website, contact information?
JackWanderman.com, 585-244-9854, JackWanderman.com. We're all over the Internet.
Yep, we've been very busy. We just did a very large estate sale for the fellow collector of Asian art. She had some wonderful things. I knew her back in the late 60s, and we had a wonderful sale at her address. We have another sale coming up in Penfield. But usually, if you get online and go to our website, it tells about us. It has contact information. We've been doing this a long time, and you know, I love the business, and Nick does too. And I remember when they were interviewing the rescue squad for animals in neglect, they were interviewing one of the people, and she says, if you don't want to work a day in your life, do something you love doing. And I think that describes how we approach this business.
Well, and so that's the Wanderman. So what about Shop 15? Where do they find you, Yvonne?
Well, we have an email. It is shop15ny@gmail.com, and the phone number for the shop is 752-4970.
I have a picture I'm going to share, but first let me read the email from a listener. This is from June in Greece. June says, this is a 6-inch croc that was owned by my husband's grandmother who lived in Maine. She bought it at an estate sale. It's made of pottery. It has no markings on the bottom. Any ideas on the origin? So you want to take a look there, Yvonne?
Okay, this is a two-handled or two-eared storage pot, 8 inches tall. No painting, no decoration. If it's in good condition, it has one incised line that goes around between the handles. You know, I would say probably 45 to 65.
Yeah, I would have put
somewhere's in there.
Yeah. People buy those for
old. I already knew what it was.
Oh, you did?
Old farmhouses.
You see plenty of these?
Since she said it, I already knew what it was and how much it was worth.
Okay. Yeah.
No, usually the cobalt decorations, the more unusual it is, the better.
It's a nice little pot.
It's the kind of thing that an old farmhouse would put on the side of the fireplace, and it would give a very, very homey look.
Yep.
All right, let me grab another phone call. Holly in Fairport is next with the College of Collectible Knowledge. Go ahead, Holly.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have I'm going through my attic, and I just discovered a Palladium Theater autographed menu, and it has Tommy Dorsey's name on it, and I think the Band Leader's name on it. I don't know anything about autographs.
That's a highly recognizable name. We just have to do a little. Jack's going to look it up right now.
You're probably doing a little research on it. In terms of your valuation, you're probably looking somewhere to the right collector in the probably $200 to $300 range. And it's an interesting item it's on a menu. You know, that's dated. It's not just a stock photograph. It's something that's a little bit more unique. Price points are a funny thing. Sometimes you don't necessarily know. Sometimes you kind of put it in the water as bait, and you see what people are willing to pay, and maybe somebody pays it, maybe somebody doesn't. You have some room for adjustment.
Yeah.
And so if I wanted to go about selling this, I mean, how do people sell, like, just individual items if they find them?
Well, you
like
can go on eBay and have somebody represent you and put it on. I just found a comparable photograph with the signature on it of his, and that's in the $195 to $225 range, but it didn't sell.
Okay.
But see, auctions are a funny thing because auction, basically, you have all of about 30 seconds to sell something, which in the scheme of things is not a lot of time. So, you know, in the way of how people are going about selling things and the kind of the question that you asked, you know, how do people sell single things or even bigger things, so the more time you have, the more time you have to get the price that you want.
Yeah.
Right. Sometimes just people have more limitations.
So I'm going to ask Jack, is that an eBay auction you're looking at?
No, that was through an auction house. But the thing is, on eBay, you can list it for 10 days.
Well, and you can relist it two or three times.
Yeah.
And nowadays, things don't often get a bid until it's on for the third
time. People wait until the very last minute.
And they expect you to mark it down every time you relist it.
But it's complicated
but you
because...
you don't have to.
Yeah, then, you know, there's complications with selling things online. So I always advise clients to bring someone in that actually knows, because you could end up losing your item, you could lose your money, and then you've got nothing and nowhere to go. So the best thing to do is, you know, to consult somebody that's familiar with the process.
Okay.
So, Holly, good luck to you. Yes. And before I take our next phone call, just on the subject of autographs, I think I'm sort of fascinated that people want autographs anyway. I always like to actually talk to people I meet. Instead of saying, here is this famous person.
Oh, absolutely.
Person, write something, write your name down on a piece of paper. But are there autographs or you know, I'm sure Holly's not the only one who finds something in an attic, in an estate, all of a sudden you find this autograph of someone who's well-known. Is there value in the world?
Oh, absolutely.
Yes?
We had a Carl Sandburg autograph. We had a Robert E. Lee photograph. There are collectors that really get excited.
Abraham Lincoln, even if it's on...
Well, Abraham Lincoln.
Well, but I'm saying, you know, the range, it doesn't have to be an important war document.
Yeah.
It just has to be on anything.
Or have the Beatles autograph.
Depends on the Beatles, or if you have all of them together. I have to say, I actually got an autograph 2 days ago. I was very excited. The woman who came into my shop turned out to be Melanie. And because she was here in town performing at RIT, and she gave me a CD and signed it for me, and I was just absolutely thrilled. She was one of the three women at Woodstock.
Wow,
yeah,
wow.
Melanie, she's fabulous. She was so sweet.
I have a Scott Regan autograph. It's a total disappointment.
A total disappointment.
I wanted to make one mention, too. We were talking about eBay briefly. eBay is so diluted with stuff right now that not only is it hard to find for people, but there's so much data to review to narrow down something that you're interested in. It just doesn't have the power that it did years ago.
Actually, one of the sites we're overlooking is Etsy. Etsy is no longer just what you're making handcrafted. They have what they call their antique section or their vintage section, and it's a name your price. You take the picture, provide the description, and then set a price on it. And if somebody's looking for it and they're interested, they will contact you.
The problem is Etsy has no traffic. I mean, it's like...
Actually, I know quite a few people who do very well on Etsy.
For vintage items or handcrafts?
For vintage items.
Yeah.
I don't know about
it's
the handcraft market.
It's one-tenth the amount of impressions, like literally, or less.
But it is a controllable situation. If you're doing just a few things,
right,
you can put something on there without a huge risk, and they provide the same payment services, so it's an option.
All right, let me grab another phone call. This is in Syracuse. This is Mel next up. Go ahead, Mel.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
Hey, I've got two old Bibles. They have copyright dates of 1830, and they've got a record of life and death with some dates that go 1790. I thought, could these be worth something, or are they just...
Everything's worth something.
Earlier? Yeah.
Clients get mad when I say that, but everything is worth something.
Yeah. Bibles in general, there are a few, very few versions of the Bibles themselves, but those life and death records, if you have the last names and can trace through, they're of great interest to people who are doing their genealogy studies. So, you know, if you're going to list it someplace for sale, list the names, the last names, and people looking for those family names would probably be the people that will show interest in it. And it's really hard to put a price on it. But, you know, if it's got three names, Not very much. But if you're talking about 50 names where you can trace parents and children down through three or four generations, then I would say $50 to $100 at least.
And yeah. Some of the old European Bibles that have illuminated pages and fancier decoration can bring more money.
Yeah.
But let me just jump in on Mel's behalf here. And Mel, hold on there. Money from where, though? When you say $50 to $100, where does that come from? How do you find that targeted buyer for that?
Well, there are people actively seeking their history, their family histories.
Where do you find them? You go to a book show where there's dealers.
Or you just put it online on eBay.
Put it online.
And just put family information and list the family names.
There's people that just go out and buy. They're Bible collectors, and they openly source and act as a market maker for those kinds of items. Yeah. You could probably go in the $100 to $200, $200 to $300 range. You might have to wait a while, but you know, you'll get an offer.
It depends on the quality of the information.
We come across quite a few Bibles in the estate sales that we handle, and I'd hardly seen one once that was really, really nice. Yeah. The rest of them bring $5, $10 if you're lucky.
Yeah. Okay, Mel, does that answer your question?
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, good
Thank you for calling, Mel. All right, so if you're on the line, Evelyn in Shortsville, Eileen in Rochester, hang there. We've got a couple of emails with some more pictures and some fascinating stuff. In fact, Phyllis sent this beautiful picture of an old family lamp. So I'm going to let them look at that during the break. This is our only break of the hour. We're going to come back with the College of Collectible Knowledge. Jack and Nick Wanderman, Yvonne Jordan are here. And here, I'll send this over, guys. Want to take a look there. And tomorrow, 10 to 3 at WXXI Studios is the 5th annual WXXI Antiques Appraisal Event. Jack, Nick, and Yvonne are going to be there for that. And
we have, seven other appraisers as well.
I mean, they get all the credit as the College of Collectible Knowledge. But it's going to be a great group tomorrow. Tickets are $30 each for one person, one item. And again, right here at WXXI on State Street, 10 to 3 tomorrow. But this is your chance, so call the program. But don't wait till tomorrow. Call now, 844-295-TALK, 844-295-8255. I'm Evan Dawson. Monday on The Next Connections. Still doubt that human trafficking is happening in Western New York? We meet a woman who was trafficked, who escaped her trafficker, and is joining us in studio to tell her remarkable story. Then in our second hour, T. Colin Campbell, one of the fathers of veganism, telling his story and talking to us about that movement. That's all coming up Monday on Connections. Welcome back to Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Evelyn in Shortsville is next. Go ahead, Evelyn.
Hi. I have something that has been in my family, and there's nobody alive that can tell us what it is.
We're alive.
I'm going to say
it's not
about cast iron.
Hold on, Evelyn. So tell us again. What exactly is it?
That's the question. We don't know what it is.
It's cast iron.
All I can do is give you a description of it.
Yep.
We have no idea what it is. On the bottom, though, it has L. Varonson, L-V-A-R-O-N-S-O-N, and with a C, which I would imagine is circuit, 1924. It looks like it's on a pedestal that's only, maybe not even a half inch high. And then it has... It would be like an egg shape. And say if you cracked an egg and you have like 2/3 of it at the bottom, so you have an uneven scallop around it.
Okay.
That would be what it would look like, an egg shape.
Do we have
it's
a picture
black,
of that?
And it has a bow that is not painted on it, but is...
Impressed in the metal?
And then there is a baby... that was coming out of the rest of, say, the third. And it would be a baby, say from his upper chest up.
Okay.
His hands are out.
It's made out of metal?
It's
cast iron.
Body and its face and its head.
So the baby is also iron?
Yeah, it's all one piece.
Okay.
That's fascinating.
It could be a pot metal, and it would be a decorative thing that people would put on the top of a piano. There are ceramics called pottery babies, piano babies, and those were things that were shelf ornaments. And that kind of thing that you're describing sounds reminiscent of decorative items from the 1920s, 1930s.
There's an innard to it also. And I am going to guess at some time one of my brothers decided to try to figure out what was inside it. It's something that you can't get out. But
so there's an opening at some place? There's an opening?
Yes, there's an opening in the bottom.
Up from the bottom, okay.
Mm-hmm. And also,
how tall is this whole thing?
It's probably about 8 inches high, and the circumference is about 12 inches.
12 inches? Wow.
Do you have a digital camera?
Okay.
Or a phone camera?
Oh, yes, I do.
I would suggest you send us a picture to Evan.
Yeah, send it to me now. We'll share it with them, and then you can call back.
That would save a lot of fishing on our parts.
You want to go ahead and do that?
Very good. What would I send it to
you? It's a piece of cake,
then?
Evelyn. It's a piece of cake. E. Dawson, E-D-A-W-S-O-N, at WXXI.org. That's where all listeners send their complaints to. Yeah,
so, that's right. And their donations.
Okay. Not necessarily about the show, right?
Yes, sure. So you can go ahead and send that now, and then Evelyn, why don't you do that and call back? Can you do that?
Yes, I can.
All right. Thank you, Evelyn. I think our next phone call, I think I might get to make my one and only debut as a member of the College of Collectible Knowledge, because it's a wine question.
Oh. Do it.
And it's a wine question, and it comes from Marcia and Penyan. Go ahead, Marcia.
Hi. So this is not a question about wine.
Oh.
We have a very old home that was built for a bride by her groom. And when we were cleaning out the basement, in the rafters, we found a very old bottle of champagne. Cork is still intact. Mm-hmm. So is the wire basket, still full of champagne. It's from the White Top Champagne Company in Urbana, New York.
That's totally interesting.
We've gone to several historical societies. Nobody can find any information on it.
So let me just, I'm going to hit the wine part, and then they're going to hit the antique part of this.
Okay, go.
Because on the wine itself, it's probably shot, even though it was probably not much good to begin with, and it's probably less good now. But it would make for good salad dressing, if you have a big salad from the late 1800s. Now, there is actually still drinkable wine from the 1800s that is out there. It has to be perfectly stored. There are some Madeiras that are intentionally sort of oxidized, but there's some really high-end wine, if it was perfectly stored in perfect temperature on its side in dark settings, that could actually be drinkable, but not probably that. But it's, to me, fascinating that it's intact, Marcia, because I don't know much about the White Top Company. I don't know much about its provenance and origin. So on the wine side, sure, the wine is shot, but you've got something that's really special because it's kind of an artifact. So I don't know. This is where I would turn to the panelists and say, you know, how do we figure out, you know, what the value is here? We have to do some sleuthing. It's fascinating.
Yeah. All right. So I do have does it actually say it's champagne on the bottle?
Yes.
Does it say imported from France anywhere?
It's probably sparkling wine made around here. You said it's Urbana Wine Company? Or you think it's imported? That's a great question, by the way. Where do you think it was made, Marcia?
I think it's bottled in.
I think it was probably local. The couple that originally built the house, he owned a small local bank. And I believe they probably had receptions in their home to kind of woo customers and businesses into investing into his bank. And there were three bottles stored in the rafter. One had completely discharged its contents and was all stained. The other one, the contents were gone, but the cork was still intact. Figure it out now.
Yeah, evaporates.
And then there's this bottle that's absolutely pristine. Looks like we went and bought it yesterday. And
the glass,
the bottle's very heavy, very old, very deep indentation in the base. Well, the whole, it looks like a brand new bottle of champagne.
Yeah. The whole the whole champagne label is very strictly controlled. It's comes from only one region in France. So either somebody was pulling a fast one.
They call it champagne here. It's just sparkling wine made locally, probably.
But was it in 1890? That's the question.
Yeah, well, were they making that around here? That's a good question.
That's the question. Okay. My guess is they were importing the champagne, that it was not very high quality, and that they were putting their own label on it when it got here. Okay. And so what we're looking at is a distributor, the name of a distributor, not necessarily a manufacturer.
Possible.
Urbana Wine and Champagne Company, which was founded in the United States. There are some examples listed online.
Jack's got it. Okay.
And they were, to the best of my knowledge, not imported. And I got.
Are they still functioning?
That I would have to do further research on.
No, I don't think so.
It says Gold Seal Champagne, Urbana, New York, which was the city where the champagne was made.
Well, Gold Seal is a company that's better known. There you go. So
we got 1900. This
but
is
this
not
is white label or white top.
Circa 1900, Urbana Wine Company, Gold Seal Champagne, Urbana, New York. Says it's rare. I'm not finding any bottles for sale.
Marcia, can I offer a suggestion? I mean,
sure.
Are you interested in selling it if it has a value, or are you interested in just learning more about it, first of all?
Well, I guess it would depend on the value. I mean, we're not from the area. It doesn't hold any sentimental value for us.
Sure.
But we did wonder, like, would anybody be interested in something like that, just because it is in such pristine condition.
Yeah.
Drink.
It was really buried and hidden in the rafters.
That's kind of neat.
Cool. Yeah.
I mean, the answer is it distinctly, you know, maybe. I mean, there may be people who are really into older wine. I mean, Yvonne's saying,
Even if it's not drinkable, people are interested in the history of all these earlier manufacturers and distributors.
And Marcia, let me just give you a sense for what you might do with it if you decide to keep it. I drank a bottle. I drank a bottle of 1918 wine this past year. A friend of mine got this bottle from 1918, and we figured it would be shot. But we said, we're going to build a 1918 night. So we looked up what was the most popular classical music being composed in 1918? I think Prokofiev, John Andrews, but I'm trying to remember. So I got to go back and look. But we got pictures of our grandparents, who my grandparents were born in 1918.
Wow.
And we put this table together of old pictures. So it became this theme night, and it turned out the wine was lovely. Really surprised us. But there's a lot you can do sentimentally that would be really fun with that if you decide. If it's not sentimental to you, then Yvonne, where do you start to try to sell this?
I think you call Jack and find out where he got his information and just start tracking it down. I mean, obviously, if somebody's saying wine or champagne from that company is rare, then it deserves a little bit of attention before you pop that cork.
You can't sell it on eBay because you can't sell alcoholic beverages.
No, but there are places that you can get in touch. There are private wine purchasers all over the place.
Yeah.
Quite a big following for old wine and wine bottles that are complete.
Well, that's what we got to think. If we did decide to sell it, we couldn't ship it anywhere because you can't ship across state lines like that.
No. There are people that specialize in vintage wines
it's
and champagnes.
Doable.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, so Marcia, contact Wanderman & Associates where?
Yes.
JackWanderman.com. JackWanderman.com.
Easiest way to do it.
244-9854.
And it gives our phone number. Can just call us.
Marcia, have fun with it. And there's nothing wrong. There's nothing that will hurt you with drinking old wine, even if it's bad, by the way. It's just not tasty, but it's not going to, actually hurt you.
No, don't open it yet.
Yvonne's saying, hold on to it. I'm saying, I think it's
realistically,
fun.
It probably does not have a lot of value, and maybe you can find somebody locally who's kind of curious about it, but you're not going to be putting on a new addition to your home.
I'd be building a 1900 night around it just for the fun of it, just to see what it looks like when you pop the cork, expecting it to be salad dressing and pleasantly surprised otherwise.
That's we did a sale on the lake, like Ontario, of an old 1910 mansion, and there was a whole wine cellar that they forgot about with tons of bottles in them.
All right, so are you ready? We've got about 10-12 minutes, and we got to go quickly because all the phone lines are full for the College of Collectible Knowledge. So
somebody's calling us back.
Here we go. Eileen in Rochester next. Go ahead, Eileen.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have an item that I've never had appraised because I would never sell it, but I've always been curious about it. And it's a porcelain bowl that I inherited from my grandparents. I know that it was a gift to my great-grandmother at her wedding in 1904. And it's it looks like it's hand-painted with flowers. And then there's some raised design on it that I can't tell if it's raised porcelain or that's the paint, but there's sort of little gold dots that are that make raised bumps around the outside. The inside and the outside of the bowl are painted. And then on the bottom, there's some writing in an East Asian script that I have always assumed is Japanese.
Yeah.
My grandmother called it the Japanese bowl.
Okay.
But I know nothing about it other than it showed up in our family in 1904.
Without seeing it, my first reaction is that it's Japanese satsuma ware, and that type of decoration is called moriyagi. Moriyagi, I always use the phrase cake frosting decoration. And it's raised like you're describing. Sometimes it's in different colors. And those were imported in mass quantities in the United States anywhere from 1900 to 1930s. They don't have a lot of value because they're so crudely done. The finer satsuma does.
I do have one more question. Is the pottery fairly chunky? Or is it very thin?
No, it's very delicate.
Very thin. So
yeah,
it's probably a porcelain rather than a earthenware.
Earthenware, yeah. But yeah, so that's what is the value on something like that, $65 to $75.
Unless it has a, when you pick it up and look, can you hold the bottom up to the light? Is there a figure in the porcelain, like a shadow figure in the porcelain in the bottom?
I've never noticed. It's in the attic right now.
Okay.
So that would be the only thing that might significantly raise the price if you find
lithopane.
It's called a lithopane in the bottom. It could be scenic. It could be a person's face. It could be a geisha. You just never know. But that would increase the value somewhat.
Yeah.
So that's pretty much what we know.
All right, good luck to you. Thanks for calling. Chris in Rochester next. Go ahead, Chris.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call.
Yep.
Many years ago, my grandmother gave me an original seat check. It's kind of like the ticket stub from the last concert that Jenny Lind gave, promoted by P.T. Barnum.
Oh, my.
And apparently there was two concerts scheduled in Philadelphia for that particular time. She walked on him after the first concert. And I have a ticket stub from that particular concert. This came to me from a great uncle through my grandmother, who was an avid collector of Jenny Lind memorabilia. And I'd love to know what something like this is worth.
Again, we're going to have to go online. That is not something I
Jenny Flynn?
Jenny Lind.
Oh,
L-I-N-D.
Okay.
My guess.
The famous opera singer. She's the last one of the 19th.
My guess on that is probably somewhere in the neighborhood of $500 to $700, maybe $600 to $800. But here's the thing. You got to find somebody that's willing to pay it. And that's not somebody that's going to just stand up with a flare gun in their hand.
And this is a ticket.
Yeah, it's a ticket.
When you turned in your ticket, you got a seat check.
They handed you back
a stub from that particular seat. So I don't have it in front of me. And
it's labeled
with the seat number and everything and what date the concert was and who was singing.
Yes.
And when I looked up the date, I realized this was the last concert that Jenny Lind gave.
And those tickets do fairly well. I'm seeing ticket stubs in the range of $100 to $175.
Okay. But this being the last one, you probably have some leverage on that.
It wasn't. Was it her ever last concert, or just the last one she did for P.T. Barnum?
It was the last one she did for P.T. Barnum. But there's a huge history of the contentious relationship they had, culminating in this one particular concert.
Right.
Wow. So I mean, there's plenty online about this particular relationship and this particular concert.
Probably,
so
I would
I've just
say
never
that's
been
about
able
right.
to find anybody who knew enough about this stuff to let me know, you know, what I had here.
Well, you know, there's an auction house in Swans that does a lot of paper ephemera. I don't know how excited they would be about a single piece.
You'd get killed at Swans.
There is a record of the P.T. Barnum ticket of Jenny Lind's performance that was actually sold on eBay.
Is it the ticket itself, or is it the seat? The seat.
It's the seat check.
Check. Yeah. I'm asking Jack, actually.
For $270.
Okay. Great.
May 16th, 2014.
All right, so good luck to you, and I've got to, Chris, thank you. I got to roll just because we got a lot of people to try to get through here. Jay in Fairport next. Go ahead, Jay. Keep it tight.
Okay, I have a 1914 approximately Vacheron and Constantin pocket watch, 21 jewels, 8 adjustments. The diameter, and it runs. It's in an 18-karat gold case, which is unfortunately monogrammed. So I'd like to know what's it worth and how do I get that worth out of it?
Well, the second part of that question takes many, many, many years of experience, I would say. But, you know, I mean, the short end of that answer is theoretically, if the internals are fine, doesn't need another $2,000 in maintenance, you're probably, without really sitting down and looking at the serials and everything else and some history, probably in the $6,000 to $8,000 range. That would be my guess. But what would you actually get out of it after you ended up paying fees and commissions and everything else? Maybe half that.
Okay, and how would I go about trying to get something out of it?
You would go to a specialty watch auction house.
Oh, are there any of those in Rochester?
No, not at all.
Where in
New York? You go to New York. There's a place called Antiquorum. Not that I'm making a lot of money off recommending them, but nevertheless, here's the problem. So you start going through these auction houses, and you start after fees and $200, $500 for a photo and a 2% insurance fee and a this and a that. You end up getting 50% of the money gone. So, I mean, there are ways that you could probably connect with a local. You know, if you called us, for example, you know, I work with a lot of watch buyers. Watches are like one of the most liquid, if you can call them antiques or, you know, timepieces, really. There's people all over the world that are paying premium prices for them, and I deal with them all the time. So
I'm seeing an 18-karat gold watch with an open face that went for $38.75.
So
no,
call Nick
there.
And Jack.
Call Nick and Jack, Jay. Where do they do that?
JackWanderman.com.
JackWanderman.com, Jay. That's the first place for you to go. Ken in Palmyra. Go ahead, Ken. We got to keep it moving.
Hi. I have an old miner's lamp and cap. It's a carbide where you put water in this stuff.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Carbide, and it made a flammable gas. It light, and that's what provided the light.
Yep. You can actually still get the carbide.
Yeah, carbide.
Yeah. Yes, there are people that collect those depending on how old we're talking because they were using them right up to, what, the 50s or something?
Yep.
I don't know. My father used this on the farm when I was a kid.
Yeah. So it just depends on the style, the age, the condition, that's pretty much it, the age and the condition.
Yeah.
But I would say that at least 50 to 75, and if it's an exceptional model, it could go up quite a bit from there.
Okay.
Because there are collectors for them.
And I can retire on.
Definitely. Go for it.
Why don't I get Evelyn back on, and I'm going to send her out. So Evelyn sent the picture. Hi, Evelyn. Thanks for calling back.
Spooky little baby.
It's horrifying. It's horrifying. What is that?
You can't imagine. Hold on. This was probably connected to a baby.
Hold on, Evelyn. Yvonne, describe this thing that is going to haunt my dreams. What is this?
Okay, this is a cold painted cast metal figurine of a chest up. It's a bust, really, of a baby, and the cold painting is missing on portions of the face that gives it this really spooky look.
Yes.
My first reaction to it is that it was either some kind of piano baby, or it was a carnival prize, or
I know it wouldn't have been that.
How do you know?
By my family, that a carnival wouldn't have been something they would have been going to.
But you don't know where they acquired it, actually. Okay. But anyway, so the other thing is, or it was a form of Easter decoration. because instead of the
a chick decoration.
Yeah, instead of the chick coming out of the egg, you would put it up on your mantle seasonally.
Yeah, this horrifying baby.
It's white.
Seasonally, you would use it to decorate your house.
Oh,
as suspected.
Father was Jewish, so. Yeah.
It's white metal.
Well, all kinds of things come into people's houses from everywhere.
It's white metal, which is what they call the poor man's bronze. And I think it's just some kind of souvenir item that was meant to be sold for decoration. Maybe it's some time of the year.
You know what it actually reminds me of? It's the same type of image that you would see on an embossed postcard from 1880, 1890.
Yeah.
It's slightly humorous. It's decorative.
Humorous? It looks like the poster of, like, The Ring 5.
No.
No, it's not that bad.
I really think it's something
it's pretty bad
else. Here. I was trying to send you another picture of the bottom of it.
Oh.
Well, Evelyn.
The bottom.
All right, we're about out of time here. So, Evelyn.
Send another picture and we'll try and get it forwarded to
us. Follow up with them and you can see all of the College of Collectible Knowledge
like
along with other appraisers tomorrow, 10 to 3. Any value you think for Evelyn out of that?
Well, if it turns out to be as it is from my first impression, it's probably $20 or $30 just as an oddity. But if there's a function to it, it'll be more.
I mean, if I owned it, I'd pay someone to take it from me. But like Evelyn,
that. Most people do.
Evelyn, that is a very interesting item.
I like it.
See, that's a matter of taste. Taste is fluid there. Tomorrow, 10 to 3 at WXXI. It's our fifth annual WXXI Antiques Appraisal Event.
Call one of us, Evelyn. We'll look at it some more.
Absolutely.
Thank
Yvonne,
you.
Nick, Jack, we
Thank
always
you.
Have so much fun with you.
A pleasure.
It was fun to be here.
And you know what? We had a lot of phone calls and a lot of emails and some we couldn't even get through. So if you called or emailed and you couldn't get through, you know where to find them tomorrow, starting at 10, right here at WXXI.
Get in touch with us online.
Yep.
Have a great
Thanks,
weekend,
everybody.
Everyone,
Thank
and we'll
you.
Talk to you on Monday.